Welcome back. You're here with Dave Popwich and More Than Money on new CHQR 770. No Faisal today. We're going to finish off the show strong, though, and talk to Jonathan Chevreau. So Jonathan's been a regular recurring guest for a number of years on our show and is an authority and a writer and an author on the topic of finance, financial independence, and now retirement. So it's been a wonderful history to follow with Jonathan as an experience, both personal and as a writer about this. But Jonathan is transitioning into retirement himself, and I often find it's fun to talk to people who are going through the retirement. There's different phases of retirement. There's the honeymoon period, the settling in period. You've got, you know, the period where you get older. But it often brings it to life. And so, Jonathan, first of all, I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for taking some time to spend talking a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, well, I guess I wrote about it in the Financial Post earlier this week. I got quite a few comments from other people. I was saying that I'd turned 65. I actually turned 65 early in April, but I had a hockey tournament that weekend. So instead of having our 65th birthday party then, we decided to schedule it right after my first OAS check, old age security check, arrived late in May. So that Saturday we'll be having a kind of a celebration. And a lot of these people are either friends who are just turned 65 themselves. As you may know, every day 1,100 Canadian baby boomers turn 65, and I think North America-wise, 10,000 every day are retiring. So our numbers are legion, as I'm finding from my emails and
100%. And the title of your article caught my attention. I thought it's great. I mean, you all have always got great titles, but it ain't no party like an OAS party. So I thought, okay, we got to dig into that a little bit. So let's just talk about how is retirement going? Tell me a bit about the experience leading up to and sort of this transition into retirement.
Well, you could say I'm a miserable example because I'm still working probably as hard as you, Dave. But that is some semblance of a 40-hour week. But it's what I call the victory lap, you know, with the book Victory Lap Retirement that I wrote with Mike Drack. One of the things in there I talk about, which I think is relevant, is something called the glide path to retirement. What I'm saying is, while there are a few baby boomers who may get the golden watch at 65 and walk out the door Friday with their defined benefit pension on Monday morning, book their first tea time, I think for most baby boomers, it's going to be a lot more gradual process. And my analogy is air flights. If you're flying to Toronto, you don't expect a pilot, as soon as he gets above Pearson, to suddenly launch a vertical drop to land. No. What happens? Around Michigan and Chicago, like hundreds of miles away, he starts to gradually descend and lower the vehicle, right? So you're going from 30,000 feet to 20 to 10 to, and then finally you land, hopefully, smoothly. So that's what I look at retirement as. I'm gradually phasing out a bit of work here and there, gradually upping the leisure, and that way you don't have this shock of feeling insignificant or even worse, bored, which is what can happen. It's something we call in the book sudden retirement syndrome. So I don't really envy somebody who goes from full tilt boogie, 100% work mode, to the next day, you know, doing nothing but watching Netflix and sleeping in.
Well, I'm glad you actually position it that way, because when we say the word retirement, people often associate that with exactly what you've said. I wake up on Monday morning and there's nothing to do, like no work. I shouldn't say nothing to do. There's no formal job. And the problem is, if you've been used to that 40-hour work week or more, you've got a 40-hour hole in your week now that you need to plug with something. And if you're not careful and plug it with nothing or the wrong things, as you said, you end up bored. We see depression. We see all kinds of things. So retirement is not synonymous with not working. It is synonymous with your findependence, right? Your financial independence and your ability to choose pace, play, what it is you're doing, whatever the case may be.
Well, I talk about, you know, working because you want to, not because you have to. I mean, the fact is, a lot of people have been working for 30 or 40 years, the baby boomers, and it's a big chunk of your life. And it's not like if you subtract full-time employment, those hours don't exist, you don't have to fill them. You still have to fill 24 hours a day. And if your identity was wrapped up in the fact you're a vice president somewhere and you're an important person and employees come and look for you guidance, I mean, Riley Moyens, I talked to a lot of other authors who've written books about this. I wrote one in Money Sense the other day, Riley Moyens' book, The Four Phases of Retirement. And the first phase is basically the vacation. Everybody thinks it's a permanent vacation, but rapidly it's followed by this feeling of feeling insignificant. You're no longer important. And then what he says, you go through trial and error. You try to launch a little few things, and then you find some purpose and meaning again. So I talk about you find purpose and meaning in our book, but it's based on essentially a semi-retirement. It's an encore career, self-employment, you know, reinventing yourself. Ideally, you're going to do activities that allow you to issue an invoice to different clients, but it could just take the form of charity and philanthropic work and, you know, even going overseas and helping people. It's up to you, really.
Yeah. You mentioned, we were talking off air, and you mentioned that you had lots of positive feedback and emails on the article. I'm curious, again, personalizing this a little bit, you're sharing a bit about your experience going through that. What kind of reaction did you get from, you know, from the article and sharing this transition that you're going through?
Well, a lot of them are saying that they're, you know, I'm 66, I'm 67, and I'm just like you. I'm sort of slowing down a bit, but I haven't completely stopped. And then some thinking, you know, they get into technical issues like, should I take old age security at 65 or wait to 70? Should I take CPP at 60 or wait? And as you know, basically, the longer you can wait, the better. I mean, CPP is 42% better at 70, higher benefits than if you took it at 65. OAS is 36% better. But my reasons for taking OAS and not CPP at 65 are that I figure eventually I'm going to have a big RSP turns into a RIF with forced taxable withdrawals. At that point, I could get subject to clawback, so I might as well grab 5 years of free money while I can. CPP doesn't operate that way. There are no CPP clawbacks. It'll just be taxable income. Yeah. So in my case, I'm going to wait, if I can, till 70 to get that CPP that's 42% better. But OAS is a little bit different. It's a bird in the hand, and I'm taking the bird.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Aside from the technical stuff, I'm curious about other comments, and particularly around this notion. I'm curious around people's comments when they transition to retirement. So there seems to me still, when talking to clients, there seems to be a pressure or a stigma attached to continuing to work after retirement. Like this is some kind of a failure versus, you know, being engaged in something you enjoy doing at a pace that you enjoy doing it. To what extent did you get any feedback or commentary around that?
Well, we talk about, you know, are you retiring from something? Something,
right.
I mean, retirement should be, you know, the cessation of some painful activity you hated for 10 years, 20 years and endured. You should be retiring to something. Like, it really requires planning your victory lap, even while, ideally, you're still employed. I mean, it doesn't, you may not necessarily go to your boss and say, hey, boss, 6 months from now, I'm out of here, thank goodness. But you might want to cultivate a sort of thing like, hey, can you be my first client? Instead of being a salaried employee, I just want to go. I was talking to an author, Howard Pell. He wrote a book called Retire Fit, Fit and Fit. And he did that exactly with his employer. He went down a three-day week. And so, as you know, I mean, what is self-employment but having more than one client? The traditional salaried job is just one client, which is actually, when you think about it, kind of insecure. Isn't it more secure to have and more varied to have multiple clients? So start with your employer, plan for your victory lap, ideally convert your employer from an employer to a client, and then go pick up two and see three and four clients, other clients.
Yeah,
unless you really, really enjoy doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to fill the gap. I mean, I think you've touched on something, and we've talked about this lots on the show, is you can't, as you said, you can't retire to nothing, right? I mean, the TV is not a retirement plan. You will become bored, and often that leads to depression. There's other things. So this is quite serious. And when you say you need to retire to something, the retirement's not the end of the game, right? It's a stop in the, you know, in the overall journey that you're taking. And I think some thought needs to be given to that. Any surprises for you? So relative to what you thought of retirement, then when you considered yourself in retirement, you know, did anything surprise you?
Well, you know, I had a number of things I thought I was going to do. The moment I turned 65, I was going to rediscover playing bridge and internet bridge, which I was quite passionate about when I had a job. But I guess since I've been self-employed the last 4 years, I've been afraid to play internet bridge sort of in Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 time, because that would mean I was retired and don't I have something better to do? So I'm surprised I haven't yet re-embraced that. All I do is I read the bridge column in the paper every day in the National Post. Similarly, I was going to, I think I had a plan to, you know, start writing songs or something as of April 6th when I turned 65. Yeah, well, I have yet to do that either. So I guess the surprise is you just... I mean, as I said at the end of the Financial Post article, the one you mentioned with the OES headline, I ran into this guy the day, just a couple of weeks after I turned 65. I dealt with him in self-employment, and I said, gee, you know, I turned 65, but I haven't really, you know, I don't feel any different. I haven't really stopped working. And he just smiled at me and said, it's just a number, which is actually true. I mean, now I get a little bit of more money comes in from OES and other sources. So gradually, it goes back to the glide path. You gradually add some streams of income, pensions, annuities, investment income, OAS, and every time you do that, you can kind of work a little less hard. And that's my plan. But so far, I guess I'm surprised that if the whole point is to do nothing, I guess I'm not doing a very good job.
You're failing. Yeah, exactly. You know, in that article, you also cited President Trump. Now, that's a bit of a polarizing personality, but not from a political perspective, but from an age perspective. And here's a guy at age 72 that decided he just might ramp it up to, I don't know, as full speed as you can possibly go, taking the office of President of the United States. So I think it is an interesting thought exercise for people that are, you know, approaching or even living in retirement, but certainly planning for it, to think a little bit about what you're going to fill that time with. What is going to keep you engaged, or that positive stress, as I call it, to get you out of bed in the morning? Because if you don't have that something, right, to motivate you that has your interest, writing songs or writing books, whatever the case may be, then you're going to get yourself in a whole heap of problems in a relatively short period of time. And we see that manifest itself in many ways. So I want to thank you, Jonathan. We're running out of time here, but for staying on top of this, sharing your personal experience, and maybe in 10 seconds or less, the number one tip you would give to somebody who's approaching this period of retirement, what is it?
Well, I guess you'd have to buy the book, Victory Act Retirement, and go to Financial Independence Hub, and maybe join our new Facebook group I mentioned also in the post, called Younger Next Year 2018. The whole point was that it's not just about money. Once you're semi-retired, you have more time to worry about your physical fitness and even nutrition. So those are the three tips I'd be giving you, Dave.
Super good. Jonathan, thanks again for your time. Appreciate you joining us.
Anytime, Dave.
Jonathan Chevreau is the founder of Financial Independence Hub. He's also co-author of Victory Lap Retirement and a regular recurring guest on our show. Before we wrap up this show, I want to remind everybody that we're going to talk about this process of retirement, not just the money side, but the lifestyle side and how it all connects together. We're doing that at our upcoming seminar, which is Tuesday, May 29th, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. To join us for that, you've got to register. Give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can go on to morethanmoneyradio.com. And a reminder of any of the segments that we cover today, in the past, they're all archived there at morethanmoneyradio.com. Or you can now have them delivered directly to you in podcast form by searching for More Than Money CHQR on iTunes or in your favorite podcast app. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.